The book of Exodus, chapter 20, and verse 12. Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12. These words before us: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And our subject this evening is a commandment with promise. A commandment with promise. Well, we come to this, the fifth commandment this evening. And it is a commandment like, all of the other commandments that has so much to it. It is so profound. There is so much we could say. And I must add that in this series, although we spend about 35 to 40 minutes on each commandment, we really do just skim the surface. And I would encourage you to meditate upon these commandments and to read them regularly and to pray over them. And I'm sure the beauty of this law and all the applications that come out of it will occur to you and will be revealed to you, because these studies, we're just dipping our toe into the law, and we could give many more lectures, many more studies on each one of these glorious features, these glorious commandments of the law of God. But we come this evening to verse 12 and the fifth commandment: honor thy father and thy mother. And with this fifth commandment, it is commonly stated by many of the commentators, by the vast majority of them, and Bible expositors, with the fifth commandment, we now move on to the second table of the law. The second table of the law. The law can be divided into two categories. We have the first table of the law, which runs from the first commandment to the fourth commandment, that which we have already looked at in our series. They make up the first table of the law. And the first table of the law, they focus on our relationship to God, our relationship toward our Lord, what our attitude ought to be toward Him, how we are to relate to Him. It's all about God. He is to be the only God whom we serve. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We are not to make any graven image, the second commandment. We're not to take His name in vain, the third commandment. And we remember all the challenging applications that came out of that particular commandment. And then, of course, we had last week, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. One day out of seven, kept holy, consecrated to the Lord. This is all about the Lord, about our relationship with God. The first table of the law, the first four commandments. Now, from the fifth commandment to the end of the Ten Commandments, there will be the second table of the law, that which concerns our relationships toward one another. The first table is our relationship toward God. The second table, how we relate to one another, how we relate to our fellow man, our obligations to man and to our fellow human beings. That is the second table of the Ten Commandments. And this fifth commandment is commonly seen as the beginning of the second table of the law. And it of course concerns the first relationship that we have when we enter into this world. The first relationship that we have as human beings is with our parents, with our father and our mother. And so therefore, this is the relationship that is set before us in this commandment: honor thy father and thy mother. The simplest application, of course, that we can make to this commandment. The simplest and most obvious is, we are to honor our parents, and that speaks of highly esteeming your parents, your biological parents, your father, your mother, showing them great respect, honoring them. And there are strong exhortations to do this all the way through the scriptures. It's not just here, of course. In the Old Testament, there are numerous references. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3, for example, we read, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." That's the instruction of God. Fear thy mother, fear thy father. Have that healthy fear. The fear of our parents speaks of great respect and honor for them. We do not want to offend them. We do not want to discredit them, or through our actions or through our conduct, bring shame upon them. We're fearful of doing that. We dare not do it. We have a fear of our father and our mother. That is what is encouraged in the word of God, indeed commanded by the Lord our God. And indeed, if you did bring shame on your parents and disobeyed them, there were great consequences. In Leviticus 20 and verse 9, "For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him." So there was the death sentence for anyone who deliberately brought shame upon their father and upon their mother, who insulted them, who cursed them, either to their face or to anybody else. That was a crime punishable by death. It was the height of disrespect and ingratitude. And so this is the commandment. This is the pattern that we see in the scriptures. Indeed, in Deuteronomy 21, the parents themselves had the right to bring any disobedient son to the elders of the city and have him stoned. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18, "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die." Well, this is amazing. And this is what the word of God points out to us. The parents were able, they had every right to bring a disobedient son to the elders of the city, that he may know the justice of the city, the justice of God, the justice that God requires. And so this is a serious thing. And this is brought into the New Testament, of course. This is not just an Old Testament principle. In the letters of the Apostle Paul, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, we read it earlier. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." And then in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So it's very clear in the scriptures, of course it is. And obedience is emphasized by the Apostle Paul. Obedience is a fundamental part of honoring your parents. You cannot honor your parents if you disobey them and ignore them and don't listen to them. That's not honoring your parents. Obedience is a vital part of it. And we have all broken this commandment. It can be said that perhaps this is the first commandment that we all break as children, when we are disobedient, when we do not obey our parents, when we rebel against their authority. This is the first commandment that we break arguably. And so, well, we must pay heed to these commandments and we must obey them and obey our parents. Now, of course, this is specifically applicable to those who are young, those who are children, those who are still under the care of their parents. But even as adults, we ought always to esteem our parents and to respect them. We ought always to hearken to the counsel of our parents, to their advice. We ought always to listen to them, to hear what they have to say, to give them our attention. We don't dismiss them. We don't cut them out of our lives entirely. They are always to hold a great place of importance and significance in our lives. We ought never to estrange ourselves from them or separate ourselves from them. And well, all the more particularly, if they are believers, if they are the Lord's people, well, then we have a greater obligation to obey. For this is well-pleasing in the sight of the Lord when we obey and please and respect and honor godly parents. Well, now, of course, this begs the question, what if our parents are unbelievers? What happens then if they do not believe in God? And well, of course, this is quite common. This is a common situation for many believers, particularly nowadays. Somebody is saved, perhaps a young man, a young woman, in their teens perhaps, they are saved and the parents don't like it. In fact, it's often the case that when a young person is saved, when a young person is converted and professes their faith, that the parents, well, they take it as a slight to themselves. They take it as rebellion against their authority. My son, my daughter has come to Christ. Now he or she is a Christian. This dishonors me. This takes away my authority. How dare they? This is rebellion against their own parents. That's how they see it. And this can be very difficult for Christians. And it is a very difficult situation for believers. Of course, we must not yield to the influence or the damaging influence of unbelieving parents. We are perfectly in our rights to put the Lord first. And indeed, well, we must put the Lord first in all things. Some parents will try and reassert their authority over us. Some parents will try to be domineering. They will try to manipulate us, to try and claw us back under their control. And so many Christians, well, they ask you, how are we to respond? My family is putting such stress upon me to return to the life that I once had. How are we to respond? Well, our priority is always with the Lord, dear friends. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke 14 and verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What does the Lord mean? If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother. Well, what the Lord is saying, he's not saying that we ought to despise our parents. Of course not, because that would contradict everything that we've just looked at. It's not saying that we despise our parents or cut them off. Essentially, what is being expressed here is that we do not allow anything or anyone, not even our parents, to directly challenge our devotion to the Lord. That's what it means. If it is a choice between obeying our parents or obeying the Lord, if there's a conflict, if our parents want to take us away from the Lord or want us to do something sinful, well, then we must obey the Lord. Whenever there's a conflict, it's always the Lord who is our priority. That's what that commandment is saying. If we want to be the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he must always come first, and we don't allow anybody else to take us away from the Lord. And so when unbelieving parents try to do that, and they can make life very hard for us, and they can try and stop us in our devotions, in our service to the Lord. Well, we must point out to them that the Lord is our God, that He comes first, and not our earthly parents, not even our wives, not even our husbands, our children. That's also mentioned in that verse. The Lord must come first. But having said that, having said all of that, even if our parents are unbelievers, you must still honor them. That verse from Luke and those words of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are not saying that we do not honor parents, even if they're unbelievers. We must honor them. The Lord indeed said in Mark chapter 7, verse 11, that we are not to use our religious duties or our religious service as an excuse to neglect our parents. Yes, God always comes first, but we don't use our religion as an excuse to neglect them or to forsake our responsibilities to our parents. No, the Lord specifically forbids that. We are to, as far as we can, fulfill all our obligations to our parents and to be good sons and daughters to our parents. We must, and that's a glorious witness to our unbelieving parents if we are obedient and we honor them. And also, well, if your parents are unbelievers, you ought to honor them by taking every opportunity to share the gospel with them. That ought to be, well, at the forefront of your thinking. If you have parents who are lost, well, your heart's desire ought to be that your parents be saved. What can I do? What can I say to bring my parents closer to Christ? Do you pray for your parents? You must. You must pray for them every day. They must be at the top of your prayer list. I pray for my father. I pray for my mother. I honor them. I will pray for them every day, every single day, that they will come to repentance, that they will come to faith. I will not forget them. I will honor them in my prayers. I so desire to see them come to Christ. Every day I am praying to God. I am pleading to God. Lord, save my parents. They are so important to you. You honor them with your prayers. Honor thy father and mother. So this is the way that we honor our parents, even those who are unbelieving. And well, there's so much more we could say about these things. But I move on just a little, because note that this commandment comes with a promise. This commandment comes with a promise. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is the promise. And indeed, the Apostle Paul, in referring to this commandment in Ephesians 6 and verse 2, this is how he describes this commandment, the first commandment with promise. Well, what is the promise here? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thy days may be long. Does this mean long life? Long life for any child, any son or any daughter who obeys their parents, they will have long life. They will live out their 70 years, perhaps even getting to 80 years, even if those years are full of labor and sorrow, they will live a long life. Is that the application that we are to make exclusively concerning this commandment? Any child who obeys their parents will live a long life. Well, no, we can't literally interpret it in that way, that an obedient child is guaranteed a long life. Of course not, because that's not always the case. But the right way to apply this promise, well, this is applicable to the nation. This is applicable to the society that this law is being given to. These laws, of course, are being given to Israel, the nation of Israel. The Lord is forming a nation out of these laws, and he is going to give them a land. He's going to give them a promised land, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is not specifically to individuals. This is to the nation. They're about to go into the promised land. And when they get to the promised land, well, what will their success as a nation depend upon? Or rather, perhaps to put it in a better way, what will their stability depend upon? Their longevity depend upon? Their prosperity as a nation? What will guarantee that the nation will last, will endure from generation to generation? What will guarantee that? What will ensure the success of that? Well, it's this commandment. This commandment will ensure that the nation will be preserved, that the nation will be blessed. From generation to generation, this nation will be kept. Their days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In other words, this commandment specifically is vital for the preservation of a society, for the preservation of a nation, for ensuring stability, for ensuring peace. If this commandment is abandoned, well, there will be no stability. There will be no peace. There will be unrest. There will be tumult. There will even be judgment from God. So this is how we apply it. This is how we understand it. The promise is not simply for individuals. It's for nations. It's for societies. And so, well, let's consider our society, the society in which we live in today, in this society, in this nation. Well, this nation, it is full of instability. It is full of unrest. And I'm not talking about coronavirus. I'm talking about the division. I'm talking about the hatred that we see in today's society. I'm talking about the crime. I'm talking about the violence. I'm talking about the confusion, the panic, the fear. This is an unstable society in which we live. There's no two ways about it. And why is that? Has it got something to do with the neglecting of this commandment? Yes, it has. Of course it has. Because, well, this commandment, like so many of the commandments, this commandment in particular has been viciously attacked by this current society, by the modern age. This particular commandment, well, it has been eroded and criticized and demeaned. And, well, let's just look at some of the ways in which this has happened. Today in this society, well, is there any parental authority? Really? Is there any parental authority, or has it all been eroded away and wiped away? Nowadays, it seems to be the children who rule. It's the children who rule over the parents. The parents, if they are to be good parents, they must be obedient to the children. It's not the parents who are over the children. The rule of good parenting nowadays, you have to do whatever the children want. That is the way of the world nowadays. It's been flipped the other way round. The parents must be subservient to the children. Because, of course, nowadays in modern society, it's the young people who always know best. The younger generation, the youth of today, they know far better than their parents. Their parents don't know anything. The parents come from an ignorant, uneducated age that is so backward, that is so bigoted. That's what we are taught nowadays. Parents, the older generation, they're dinosaurs. They don't know anything. The younger generation, that's who we look to. They're so wise. They're so educated. They're so learned. Let the youngsters take charge of everything. The old people, oh, well, if all the old people die, well, that wouldn't be such a bad problem, such a big deal. In fact, well, I've mentioned this before, but after the Brexit vote a few years ago, well, a lot of people, as you know, were not happy with the Brexit vote, and they blamed the old people. It's the old people. It's their fault They should be banned the vote. That's what people were saying. We shouldn't let people over 70 vote because, you know, they're stupid, they're ignorant. It's the young people who must vote. They're the wise ones. If only the elderly generation would just take a lesson or two from the youngsters, then the whole world will be a much better place. This commandment has been utterly reversed in this society. And this is why there is so much unrest, because the adults are being subject to the youngsters. This society thus doesn't even respect the pattern that is presented to us in this commandment. There is a pattern presented to us very clearly here. Honor thy father and thy mother. Father and mother. This speaks of male and female. That is the pattern to be honored in marriage, in a family, a male and female, designed by God for reproduction, a perfect blend of sexes, designed to be the perfect cradle for a child to grow up in, a father, a mother. That is the perfect pattern, the pattern that we are to honor. But this society doesn't honor that pattern. It wants to do away with father and mother. Oh no, it doesn't have to be father and mother. We despise that pattern. You can have father and father now. You can have same-sex parents. You can have mother and mother. That's what we want. That's what we want to come into society. We don't want father and mother. That's old-fashioned. That's bigoted. We want to change everything up. The pattern that is given to us here, well, it is despised by modern society, but of course it's the correct pattern. This is the pattern we ought to hold to, father and mother. It will never change. The Bible cannot be rewritten. It must not be rewritten. This is the law of God written in stone. Father and mother, we have no right to change it. And well, because this commandment is being attacked and being eroded, this is why the society around us is starting to crumble. Is it any wonder that we get the sense that this modern age is starting to fall in on itself? It's because this commandment has been dismissed, and therefore the promise is not ours in this day and age, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, peace and blessing. We're not going to know it in our time unless we return to the word of God and to the law of God. But just as this applies not just to individuals, but societies, there's a wider application. Societies and nations must heed to this commandment. The commandment is also broad in the sense that, we're not simply called to honor our biological parents. We are to do that, of course, but the commandment is a lot broader than that. Not just our biological parents and the family structure, but the commandment extends to all those who have the rule over us, all those who have authority over us. We must honor them. Anybody in an authority position, we must honor. We are not to be those who rebel against authority. We are not to be revolutionaries, always looking to topple those in authority. We are to honor those who are put in authority over us, who have the rule over us. And well, we give some examples. As children, we honor not just our parents, not just those who we are related to, our biological parents, but we honor our teachers at school. They have authority over us. They have the rule over us. We are to obey them. We are to respect them. We are to esteem them. As youngsters, as children, it's not just our parents, it's those who have the rule over us. When we are adults, well, who has the rule over us? Well, we think of our employers, in our workplaces, our bosses, those who are over us. We work hard for them. We obey them. We honor them. We want to see our employers prospered. That is how we honour them. We're not always criticising them. We're not undermining them. I've worked in many offices in my time, and it seems to be the done thing that, all the employees gossip about the employer, about the boss, put him down, criticize him, make fun of him. We are not to do that. As Christian people, we are set apart. We are not to engage in such things, because the commandment of the Lord is that we honor those who have the rule over us. So at school, in the workplace, in the churches, of course. And I'm not saying this just because I'm the pastor, but we must respect the officers of the church. We must esteem them. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. You are to esteem those who are in the churches laboring, in the churches, the church officers, those who are appointed in places of authority in the church. And well, this is something we must always be reminded of. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes you get in the church people who come in and they're not willing to submit to the authority of the elders. They don't care about the authority of the elders. And when they sit under the preaching or the sound of God's word, they're not really listening. They're not teachable. They're always quibbling. Oh, this pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. Of course, if a pastor is going against the word of God, well, of course, you ought to challenge him or leave the church. But if he is, you're not simply to sit there and just quibble and refuse to come under the authority. Dear friends, this is what the Apostle Paul teaches. The church officers, they have been put in authority. They have been put there by God himself, men raised by God to rule over the flock of God. And so they are worthy of the esteem of others. And well, not just them. We think of the rulers of the land, government. Think of the prime minister, whoever he is or she is. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to like them. And well, when we look at the rulers of the nation, there has been so much wrong with them. They have been people with ungodly ideas in some respects. They have been people with loose morals and so on. But they are the rulers of the nation, and it is not our business to topple them or to criticize them. We are, as far as we can, to submit to their authority. Because again, God has put them in their place. That's why we do that. Not because of them, not because of their character or anything they have done, but because God himself has appointed the rulers of the nation. 1 Peter 2 and verses 13 and 14. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Submit yourselves to the authorities. That's what Peter is saying. And then the Apostle Paul in Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Well, those are remarkable words and very important words. I mentioned, just as we come to conclusion, our time is almost out. I mentioned right at the start of this study that this commandment is the first of the second table of the law that concerns our relationships with one another. And that's true. But some say And I think this is with some justification. Some commentators say that this is actually the last of the first table of the law. This fifth commandment is the last of the first table of the law concerning our relationship with God. It still concerns our relationship with God. How can they say that? Well, because if you reject those in leadership, if you reject those who have the rule over you, really you are rejecting God. You are despising his authority and his appointments, because he is the one who has appointed these rulers. He is the one who has appointed the prime minister. He is the one who has appointed the government. He is the one who has appointed your employer, your boss. He is the one who has put your boss in place. He is the one, most certainly, who has put your pastor over you. He is the one who has given you your parents. So if you reject them and their authority over you, what you're actually doing is you're rejecting the authority of God. And so perhaps it's true that this commandment is actually the last commandment of the first table of the law, that one which relates to God. How do we submit ourselves to God? This is one of the ways. We submit to the authorities that God has put over us. And so this is how we are to live, according to the commandment of the living God. This is the fifth commandment, dear friends. As I said, I've just skimmed the surface. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Or may the Lord help each and every one of us as we seek to do that which is pleasing in the sight of our God. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we thank thee for thy law. Thy law is so glorious. Thy law is so righteous. Thy law is perfect. O Lord, we do pray that we will apply this law, this commandment, to our hearts, that we will examine ourselves to see if there is any way in which we do not submit to this commandment, to the authority of those whom thou hast put over us. O dear Lord, if we are guilty in this respect, change us, dear Lord. Sanctify us even this night. Help us to submit to those who are in authority over us, that we may submit to thee. O dear Lord, forgive us afresh all our sins and help us in the days ahead, that we may walk with thee and that we may honor thee in all that we do. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, let's sing together our final hymn this evening. It's hymn number 456. Hymn number 456. I want a principle within of jealous godly fear. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and continue with each one of us, now and forevermore. Amen.